Good morning. This morning is a communion service, and there is a special performance by the choir. So now let us together look at the Bible verse in the New Testament. It's from John chapter 6, verses 15 to 21. This is about page 814 in the Brown Bibles. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again into the hills by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Yet then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. So Jesus went off into the mountains to pray. And the disciples went off to the lake where they got into the boat and headed for Capernaum. And Jesus had a reason for going there. He was concerned that the people wanted to make him king. He was worried that this might cause people to create a disturbance. And so he dispersed the crowd and then went off by himself and sent his disciples away as well. How do we know that they were trying to make him king? It's in verse 15, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force. There were about 5,000 men there in that crowd. And they had been hungry after listening to him preach for a whole day. Counting only the men, there were 5,000, and he performed a miracle in feeding them. Nobody had brought anything except for two fish and five loaves of bread. He said, "Bring them to me," and he prayed, blessed them, and then sent the disciples off to distribute them. And as everybody shared the food, there was enough food for all to have their stomachs filled, and there were many baskets of leftovers. There's a saying in Japanese that you grab someone by the stomach, and surely here we see Jesus taking these men by the stomach and pulling them along into his service and belief. And so this was a miracle that none of the people, the disciples or anyone, had seen before. And so even today, perhaps we may feel that we are, that Jesus has taken us by the stomach, as the saying goes. This Jesus that we are following, he has such great power to perform such miracles. It's like when you're a small child and you look at your father and your older brother and are proud of their strength and just how cool they are. So Jesus was not planning to become king on this earth, at least not at that time. And so he sent the disciples off to the other shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he himself withdrew to the mountains to pray. And once they set out, they immediately encountered difficulties. A storm came up, as we see in verse 18. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. We see that when the evening came, they went down to the lake. And elsewhere it's said that when Jesus came to them, it was almost dawn. So they had been rowing for 10 hours. And yet they had only gone about 3.5 miles. Now, right before the church is the Sakura River, which goes down to the Lake Kasumigaura. It's about 3.5 kilometers, or say 2 miles. And I've got on a surfboard and rowed down there, paddled down to Kasumigaura, and it took me about an hour. There was a bit of a headwind, and it only took me an hour. So you can imagine going less than twice that far, taking 10 hours, just how violent that storm must have been. There were many experienced fishermen among the disciples. And even so, until very recently in practice and strong, they couldn't make headway against that storm. Perhaps they thought they were going to sink, and perhaps they would drown. And at that time, what had they just experienced? Just a few hours before, they had seen Jesus' power in this amazing miracle of feeding 5,000 grown men and perhaps more women and children. He had succeeded in doing so with only a paltry 2 fish and 5 loaves. They had never seen anything like this before. Perhaps they thought at that time anything was possible to them as long as they followed Jesus and obeyed his commands. And so they got out in the boat and headed off into the storm. But they could make very little progress, and perhaps near the end of their strength, they must have felt that God's grace and blessings had been completely blown out of their presence. They had been given this grace and blessing before, but in the reality before them of the storm, they couldn't see it anymore. They couldn't maintain the blessing, and before them was the violence of the storm. But if we look at Matthew, chapter 14, we see immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him while he dismissed the crowd. So the disciples were commanded by Jesus to get into the boat, and he sent them ahead of him. So he had commanded them to go to Capernaum. And so he intended that they go there. And we may presume he understood what he was doing. So he was sending them into this, having caused them to experience a blessing beyond imagination. He was now going to send them into one of the worst experiences of their life as they tried to cross the lake at his command into the violence of the storm. We too have experienced this, haven't we? There, we have experienced God's blessing. And yet, even as we are proud of our God and joyous in the receipt, yet there are times, having experienced it, that it's followed by some storm or difficulty, and we feel like the blessing is entirely exhausted. And that blessing has been crushed by the difficult reality. Having received a blessing, can we go and overcome a difficult reality? Isn't it true that sometimes people are crushed by their reality as well? Others do go on to overcome, but some, we must admit, are crushed. But I want to understand, I want to, us to learn here that the fact that we've received a blessing doesn't mean that there will never again be storms in our life. No matter how large the blessing,
우리들의 인생에 있어서 큰 파도는 밀어닥칩니다. 성경은
In our lives, storms are a fundamental part of it. The Bible is telling us that even though in our lives there are storms, because I will give you blessings, in that blessing you can overcome the storm and get past it. Jesus is at the center of this, and he would come walking to them over the lake, over the water. He came walking to them. And what did they say? Well, let's look at Matthew 14:26. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And cried out in fear. They were afraid. They were terrified by seeing Jesus on the water. They had seen the great power of Jesus, and yet, in the face of the storm, they were terrified. They thought he was a ghost. They couldn't believe it. Reality had crushed the blessing that they had received. This is something that we all experience at times. Every week we come here and we were blessed with the opportunity to offer our worship, to enjoy fellowship of other believers. And yet, during the week, we face all kinds of difficulties, storms in our lives. And perhaps, though we have been moved by the blessings, nevertheless, facing the real world, we are crushed flat. Perhaps we are terrified. Perhaps we are even thrown into despair. We can't move. We are about to die, we think. This is where the disciples were. They had been at a really high point in Jesus' career, this great miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And yet, this is not where the story ends. In fact, the storm will pass, and peace and calm will be restored to the disciples. So, when is it that the storm is tamed and that calm is restored? Is it when Jesus came from the other side walking toward them? Or was it when Jesus said, "Don't fear"? Or was it when Jesus entered the boat that was pitching in the rough seas? It's when Jesus came from and got into the boat. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 51. This is about page 769 in the Brown Bibles. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. It's when Jesus entered the boat that the storm calmed. The disciples, when they welcomed Jesus, when they accepted him into the boat, that is when grace and blessings were restored to them, when they were able to receive peace and calm in their hearts despite the storm that they had just experienced. They were uncertain and in fear. And yet Jesus entered the boat, and shalom, or hewa, was with them. It's not when they saw Jesus. It's not when they heard his voice. It's when they welcomed him into the boat. When we bring Jesus into our lives in the midst of the storms we face, that is when calm, peace, and blessing are restored. Yesterday in the evening, I went to Suigo Park to see how the storm was proceeding. I wondered if the church was okay, and so I drove along the banks of the river on that road. Kasumigora, the lake, was amazing. The waves were like the ocean. I thought, if they came here, I would be drowned. I don't know if we can compare that to the storm that the disciples experienced. When water is calm, it's so beautiful. But to be on a stormy sea with the waves pitching in a boat, that there must be nothing more fearful than that. It's not when the disciples saw Jesus. It's not when they heard his voice. It's when they welcomed him into the boat that the storm calmed. In this story of the storm, it's in Mark, Matthew, and John. There's something in John that is not mentioned in Mark and Matthew. Having fed the 5,000, having come to the boat that was about to sink in the lake, only John tells us an important thing. So let's look at chapter 6, verse 4. The Jewish Passover feast was near. This was at the time of the Passover, which was one of the great festivals of the Jewish religion. We often talk about dates in terms of what year, what month, what day, but this is given in terms of the religious calendar. It was Passover time. This shows a parallel between the disciples being saved from the storm and the Jewish tradition of the Passover. Do you know what Passover is? Passover is when the Israelites were held as slaves in Egypt, and they were saved by the Passover. In the Old Testament, there were 12 great disasters visited upon the Egyptians to cause Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go. And the last of them or 10 of them actually, and the last one was something that they couldn't imagine. And they were freed from their slavery and allowed out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea, which had blocked them. They couldn't walk on water. They couldn't cross the water. But God controlled the water, parted it, and allowed them to pass through the middle of the lake. So they were experiencing God's blessing greater than any could be imagined to that time. Do you know what allowed this? Do you know what happened after this? For the first time, the whole people would sing a hymn of praise to God. That's how joyful they were. they recognized how great this blessing was, this miracle that God had done for them. They had experienced God's grace in a way never known before. And they were greatly excited and joyful. But now they were facing the desert. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And some of them were saying, we were better off in Egypt. At least in Egypt we were alive. And at that, God caused manna to fall from the sky. Then they said, but we want to eat meat. And God caused little birds to come fly to them that they could eat. They complained of being about to starve, and God provided for them. It was at exactly that point, when their faith was at its lowest, that God did these miracles for them. Now, if we look at the story of John in the age of the New Testament, this was the age of the Roman Empire, and the Jewish people were oppressed and controlled by the Roman Empire. It was difficult for them to get enough to eat even, and yet Jesus fed that multitude to the point where they were full and satisfied. And then they went to the water. And in the midst of this fearsome experience on the water, Jesus comes walking to them over the water. In the Old Testament, God had parted the waters, but here, Jesus walking on the water also shows his control over the water. And so, again, Jesus reestablishes God's grace and blessing on his disciples. These are somewhat different in form, but in both cases, they show the same power, the same nature of God in the Father, who the one God of Israel, who parted the waters, and in Jesus, his Son, who walked on the water. Why do you think it was written this way? John wanted to show that the Creator God was the same as his Son, Jesus. In the beginning of John, it's written, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. In Genesis, it says, in the beginning was God created the heavens and earth. So God was there at the beginning, so was Jesus. And in this way, we see that the only God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. This is why John writes this the way he does. And in the sixth chapter, we see that by having this event happen at the Passover, we see that saving the disciples is the same as God saving the Hebrews from the Egyptians. Although reality can blast away the blessings that we have now, if we simply accept Jesus into our lives, he will restore them. He will be, though we believe that we are like trash blown before the wind, and all blessings are gone, God will restore them. And when does that happen? How does that happen? When Jesus came to them and the disciples welcomed him into the boat, it wasn't when they see him, it wasn't when they heard him. The storm did not abate. But when Jesus entered into the boat, when we allow Jesus into our stormy lives, That's exactly when the storm will abate, when God's blessings are restored to us. God's blessing can tear apart reality and remake it for us. And today, in the communion service, we will eat the bread and drink the wine. And the bread and the wine become parts of our body. I think this is more of the same symbolism. Jesus is not far from us. It's not that we hear Jesus' voice or see him. It's that in our stormy lives, we have accepted Jesus into our lives. So let us pray. Heavenly Father God, you sent Jesus Christ to us, and through Jesus to us, you gave this wonderful blessing. Yet though you have given us such blessings, in the face of the storm, such blessings, we feel that they're like garbage. We feel that they are useless to us. That is our weakness. But then, you don't give up on us, and you come into our boat. Please, lead us to allow you into our boat, into our reality, in the midst of our storms. Please guide us in that way. And now we have our communion service. As we dine on the food and drink the wine, it becomes part of us. May it become part of our reality. Give us the conviction to accept Jesus into our life. Make Jesus part of the reality of our lives as we accept him. Please bless us. We give you thanks for today's Bible verse. And in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.